Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's word is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Just read right at the beginning the word that Charlene brought this morning. She says, 2 Corinthians... Was it 2 Corinthians 3:17? Yeah, thank you. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. And God is Spirit. He doesn't deal in flesh. God is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Charlene rocked the prayer meeting this morning. Working with her, I'm kind of thinking, oh, I keep saying these things. I'm just going. So obviously stuff that she says sticks in your thinking. She's a gifted communicator, a real asset to the team, and we love her. She brings a fresh energy into the house. And the word that she brought this morning, I thought, well, if only we would just do that, I needn't even bother to bring the word today. We could live on that one verse. God is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is already freedom. But we let other stuff hook into us, don't we, and hang on to us, and that is not freedom, and it is certainly not liberty, because we end up dragging stuff along with us. And on the notices today, anybody who notices might have noticed that there is a different quote. Not that I think we've fulfilled the last one, where Wesley said that our only purpose in life is to win souls. If we'd live by that, we wouldn't be thinking about ourselves either, would we? But today, I love this quote. It dropped into my inbox this week. It really woke me up. The gospel is not a second chance at life. We kind of dress the word of God up and the gospel of Christ as a bit of a add-on extra or an opportunity for a second chance. Yes, is God the God of endless chances? Yes, he is. The God of endless grace, the God of endless love. But the gospel isn't a second chance at life as an add-on to our life. I just love this. The gospel is an opportunity to die. If only we'd teach people that from the beginning. If you die, Christ will live in you. Why would you want to live if you got a hold of that truth? Why would you want to live in yourself and for yourself in that stinking flesh life when if you'll only die, Christ will live in you? That's amazing, isn't it? It might not be the palatable truth in the world, but it is the truth. The gospel is not a second chance at your life. It's an opportunity to die so that Christ can live in you. I think that is the best news ever. I just think that is such good news, because why would I want to live my life? My life focuses on me. But I want to live Christ's life where it's focused on him. And we're going to have a great session this morning. Because God is just going to so sort some stuff. Please turn to Colossians 3. And I love all of Paul's letters to Elohim Church. They're really great. He's an awesome and gifted writer of letters to Elohim Church. And I feel very privileged that he's written to us and that he writes to us and communicates God's truth to us in such a relevant way. And if there's a title for today's preach, it is just practical Christianity. It's practicing being Christ-like. And Colossians 3 certainly helps us with that. And we'll start in, I want to do it all, but anyway, we will start in verse 9, It's such a straightforward word. Do not lie to one another. Now, that's practical instruction, isn't it? Tell the truth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with all his deeds. Need to realign our thinking. I'm not talking about the old man. I'm talking about the old man. This one. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed. That's made new. It's not made new and improved. It's just made new. You have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, or created you. Jesus himself created the new man, and the new man that you put on is the image of him who created the new man. And it is good. It is really good news. And that is the whole sense of practical Christianity. And basic things make such a big difference. Don't lie to one another. That's really good, isn't it? Yeah. Tell the truth. Tell the truth in love, yeah. But tell the truth. Because only the truth is going to set you
free.
Who wants to live free?
Me.
Then we need to know the truth, don't we? That the old man stinks, is unpalatable, he's not a friend of God, he's not the way to live, and we have got a responsibility to put him off. Yeah. Get off. Get off me. Old thinking, old speaking, old way of living. Just get off and put on the new man, because it makes a big difference what you wear. Not what you wear like this, but what you wear in here. Makes a big difference. Basic, simple, straightforward Christianity. If you put on dirty, scruffy clothes, you're going to look dirty and scruffy. Everybody can have clean clothes. Everybody can have clean clothes. And if you put on dirty, scruffy clothes, you're going to look untidy. And very likely you wouldn't pass the sniff test, but Steve does. That's awesome. He smells good, he looks good, and he'll do you good. And when you put on clean clothes, you feel different, don't you? When we go to Africa, we start out in clean clothes. By the end of the first half an hour, you feel as if you haven't changed your clothes for a month. And when we get home at night, where it's really ingrained into not only your clothes, but your skin and your eyes and your nose and your throat and everywhere else, all you want to do is stand under the shower for ages. And then you find there's just about a cup full of water to wash everything. And it's cold. Refresh it. Thank you, Faye. You've always got a positive aspect. But when you put on those clean clothes, oh, man, you feel like a different person. I've always said, if I was mega, mega rich, I'd have clean bedding on my bed every day that somebody else washed and pegged on the line to blow in the breeze and ironed and put back on for me. Because there's nothing like getting into clean bedding, is there? And so this is dead practical. Put off the old stinking stuff and put on the clean, fresh, enjoyable, amazing stuff of the new man. It just gives you a whole different feel on life. It just does. You know when you're in the old man, because life is not as it should be. It's not fun. And Paul uses a great analogy here, a very simple one. And he says, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. It doesn't say you might have done. It says you have. When you come to Christ, it's not a second chance at life. It's your opportunity to die and live the new life of the new man. And since you have, And you've put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge and his thinking. That's where all the stinking thinking comes from, Steve. And have been renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. Live that life. It's as practical and as simple as that. New life, new identity, and it's visibly different. When I change my top, it's visibly different. It doesn't look like the same top. I know if I've got two, I should give one away. It's the truth. But you live on the one to wash and one to wear. If you put on something new, it's visible and it's different. People know if you're living the new life because it's visible on you. I'm sorry it's so simple today. But the new man is very visible. Very visible. Visible in your actions and your attitude, visions. It's visible in what you speak. It's visible in what you do. It comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your life. It comes out of every pore. And it smells good. Because it's the fragrance of Jesus. He is the new man. And in my youth, not that long ago, we had mods and rockers. That'll give you a clue now. And you knew who were the mods by what they were wearing. And you knew who were the rockers by what they were wearing and what they were listening to. And you knew who were the mods because of what they were driving, which was Vespas. Was it Lambrettas? You're too young. And you knew who were the rockers by what they were driving. Big bikes. Yeah. I eventually got to ride a big bike in 2000 when we did the mission. I was like, get me off. Get me off this bike. So that was one ambition fulfilled, but I left it about 30 years too late. But anyway, so it was very visible if you were a mod or you were a rocker or if you were a goth or a skinhead or whatever. It's visible, isn't it? Very, very, very visible. And it is incredibly visible if you see a policeman in the street. Why? He's high vis. Yeah, we need to be high vis. It's very visible if you see a fireman. Why? He's usually in a fire engine. But anyway, because of what he's wearing. It's visible if you see a nurse in the hospital. Why? Because of what they're wearing. And you need to be able to see what they're wearing. Because if you need a policeman, you can see one. If you need to know who the nurse is in the hospital, you can see one. We need to know who the Christians are. We need to be able to see one. We need to be that identifiable in the world. We need to be so visibly having put on the new man that it is seen. It's not so deeply hidden. Our lives are hidden in Christ, but we're not meant to be hidden. We're meant to be visible, and we're meant to be visibly living the life, do the deeds of. Put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man and do his deeds, which are his deeds. It's an entire change of focus. You're no longer focused on yourself and what you want to wear. Because you just want to display Jesus. You just want to show who Jesus is in you and in and through your lives. So loads of, I was thinking about this, thought, oh, there's loads and loads and loads of people who are identifiable by what they wear. We all know who Liverpool are, don't we, as a football team, because they wear red. Yay! We all know who Aston Villa are as a football team because they wear claret and blue. And I was thinking, they need that, don't they, on the playing field? Otherwise, it would be chaos. You wouldn't know who to pass the ball to, would you? But wearing a number 7 shirt with David Beckham on doesn't make you David Beckham. It's what's inside the shirt that matters. And it's the same for us. People need to know who we are. They need to know whose team we're on. They need to be able to identify us, and we want to be identified with the right team, I assume. We want to be identified with the right team and the right teammates, and if we do, wearing the identity is crucial. Wearing it, putting it on. So if we're going to put something on, unless you're going to have 100 layers, because you're going to the Arctic, we have to take something off to put something new on. And that's visible too. And Paul tells the church, put off the old man, put on the new man. And he says, since you have, in other words, since you are a new man, dress like one, talk like one, act like one, be one. And it is more than new clothes. It's more than a uniform. It's more than just putting off the old clothes and the old man. It's never wanting to put them on again. If I have a choice between something out of my linen bin that's been cozying up to Brian's socks, or something that's hanging in the wardrobe fresh out of the ironing basket, I tell you what I'm going to choose. Not something that's been cozying up to Brian's socks, because it won't pass the sniff test. You always get the sympathy vote. It is. You've lived in our house. You've smelt our linen bin when there's too many pairs of Brian's socks. Yay. But we want to look good and smell good and live the good life of the new man. Because the old one stinks even worse than the smelliest of socks. And it's not pleasant. It not only smells, it's decaying. The Bible tells us there's no good thing in that old man. And so what is made visible? Well, you know what? I can tell how somebody's feeling by the look on their face. I can tell who's bored, who's going to sleep. I can tell who's not registering what I'm saying. I'm telling who doesn't want to look at me. I'm telling who doesn't want to be anywhere near me. I can tell who doesn't like me. I can tell all kinds of stuff, because I'm a spiritual being, for one thing. You can plaster a smile on your face, but man, I usually know what's inside. And if you get round Pastor Colin, you're going, think holy thoughts. Lynn, think holy thoughts, think holy thoughts. He can not only read what you look like, he can read your diary from a distance. But it's part of the spiritual understanding. So your attitude is going to be glowing in the dark. A new man's attitude passes the litmus test. And our attitude to challenges shows if we're living in the new or the old. And challenges come to make us even more like Christ. Jesus himself on this earth did not live a challenge-free life. And we peddle a false gospel if we say, come to Jesus and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It is the truth in eternity, but it is not truth in this present reality. But within that present reality, we live out the victory of the cross and the blood and the new man. So we don't live challenge free, and why should we want to live such a boring life? We're made for victory, which means that we're made for conquering. Which means that we're up for the fight, which means we've been equipped with our new man's attitude, with every weapon in our armory to ensure the victory. So you want victory? I want victory. You want a great testimony? I want a great testimony. Victory comes after the battle. Testimony comes after the test. And your attitude in the midst of that displays whether you live as a new man or not. Whether you live as redeemed, whether you live as reborn, whether you live as Christ is displayed by our attitude to challenges. And challenges are going to come. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. He wasn't prophesying it over you, although every word of God is prophetic. What he was saying is, the reality is in this world you will have challenges. The truth is that I've overcome the world. And so if we're living in him and he's living in us, we're already overcoming. Just by the very fact of who we are and where we are centered. But the problem is, if we keep looking at this man, we miss the man. And when I look at this man, I don't see anything good. I'm not saying poor me, because I'm not. But when I look at this man, I don't see anything good. But when I look at the man in whose image I'm made, then I see everything that is good. And this man comes into line. The new man is very different to the old. Yeah. And we know when we're living in the new man. So that's, your attitude is visible. Your expression is very visible. The life of Christ is written on your face. It's called get your teeth out. Smile. And when you smile in the face of adversity, you're laughing in the face of the enemy. Oh man, it really does his head in. It really, really gets the devil's goat when whatever he throws at the children of God, they come up smiling and smelling of roses. They pass the sniff test. It shows in our love for God and for others. Your new man will show when you love God more than yourself, when you love others more than yourself, when you are more attentive to what God wants than what you want, when you're so hypersensitive to what God wants that you don't want anything else. What you want doesn't even enter into the equation. What you think doesn't even pass the go. Because you're so sensitized in the new man that's been born again, spirit-filled, living for the purpose of eternity. You just don't want to stray over into that place where God isn't. You so want to stay in the place where God is because you love him. Have a passion for Jesus. His passion for you took him to the cross for you. That's more than enough. More than enough to draw out love from his kids. The new man shows in our love for God first and our love for others. You know, joy. I love these old acronyms I used to learn at Sunday school. Joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Yourself comes at the bottom of the pile, but you don't go, oh, I'm always last. Nobody ever thinks of me. You go, Jesus is first. That's amazing. When Jesus is first, my needs get met. Amazingly, miraculously, when Jesus is first, my life's in order. The chaos has to shut up because Jesus is first. When others are before the why, as in, why me? Why not you? Come on, get a grip. Why not you? When others are before the why me, right in the middle. Something shifts for you. Something shifts for the you. You've come into line, you've come into order, you've come into alignment with heaven. And God releases something. When Jesus is first and others are second and you're last, happily last, something's resting on you. Something of the weight of the kingdom's glory rests on you. That's amazing. Generosity of heart and spirit. So, the new man visibly shows in our attitude, our expression, our love for God and others, generosity of heart and spirit, practical giving, practically forgiving. The new man shows in our language. You can quickly tell where somebody is by what they speak. What comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. Jesus himself said, from the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so you can quickly tell where people are. Are they living in the kingdom of light or not? You can tell. Their words are light. Are they living in the kingdom of life or not? You can tell. Their words are life. Are they living the kingdom life? Because if they are, they're speaking kingdom life. We're holding out the word of life. We're speaking what Jesus would say. I sometimes think, would people say that if they knew that Jesus was sitting not just this close, but this close? I sometimes want to say, would you say that to Jesus' face? Our language tells whether we're living, having put on the new man. The new man lives in faith expressed through love and faith expressed through deeds. A new man is servant-hearted, and that's really visible. Do you know, you so often hear me appreciate the worship team. Do you know why? They're the first in this house on a Sunday. They're the last out of this house on a Sunday, having set everything up, not just the worship equipment for themselves, but cups for the coffee, chairs for you to sit on. And they're the last out, looking around to make sure that the floor's clean, looking around to make sure everything's put away. And that's servant-heartedness that 90% of the church don't see. They're not dashing out because their dinner's on. They're here to the end. They're here at the beginning. They're here at the end. That is servant-heartedness of the new man, the man that puts God before themselves and the work of God before themselves. Servant-heartedness is visible. Whatever ministry you're involved in, make sure it glorifies God, because if it doesn't, give it up. Because you're in it for yourself. If it doesn't glorify God, you're in it for your own glory, and that's no good. The new man is obedient. I'm going to say this. He's obedient to death, not mere discomfort. Because it's an opportunity to die. Yeah. The new man is obedient. Obedient to death, not merely discomfort. You can tell when there's a new man, because the merest discomfort doesn't have him going, ouch, ouch, get off, don't like it, leave me alone. Discomfort is just an agitation to die. The new man is obedient to death. The new man is sacrificial. Dead to self, alive to Christ. Wow. It's a no-brainer really, isn't it? Sacrificial living. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. I came to be a servant. He was a son, but he knew how to serve. The new man is sacrificial, and it's visible on us, in us, and through us. I told you this is good. The new man does not want to wear the old clothes. This is going to revolutionize your life and your wardrobe. Stole my line. You did sing out, speak to me, word of God, speak to me. And what happens when God speaks to us? He breathes life. Not your life, his life. Something great comes out of the word of God. When we get a grip of it, get a hold of it, you're not going to be shaken. You're going to be able to say like David, I've set the Lord ever before me. I will not be shaken. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. I've seen people in this church able to stand right in the face of the enemy, able to stand even hearing the enemy's mocking voice. I've watched people live like that, stand like that, conquer like that, and release that into the lives of others. It's awesome. If you look around, you do not know what some people are carrying today. You don't know what some pain people are battling through today. But you do know the people who've got a grip of God, who are going to get through today, living as a new man. Put off the old man and the old life. And do you know what? I just want to get this really clear. This life is not the old man versus the new man. There's not some kind of wrestling match going on here. There just isn't. The battle is in the spirit. The old man is the old flesh, old thinking, old ways, old acting, old responses, old reactions. The new man is the new thinking, the new life, the new actions, the new language, the new thought processes, the new reaction, the new determination to live like God. There is not a wrestling match between the old man and the new man if you've taken the old man off. Most of us want to live with one arm in the new jacket of the new man and one arm in the old jacket of the old man. And it doesn't sit comfortably. Doesn't look good either. Looks ridiculous. Get it off. There is no boxing match. There's no wrestling match between the old man and the new man. It's a done deal. The old man is Adam. The new man is Christ. It's done. It's finished. It's a victory. It's effective. It's effected. The wrestling match is not between the old man and the new man. If you've put the old man off, he has to die. Cannot live. The victory was won by Christ. Now, when you put on the new man, you wear the champion's belt. The belt of truth. The truth's going to keep you free. You wear the champion's belt. The belt of truth. And you will know what it is to live that new life of the new man. New practices, new attitudes, new actions, new reactions. You change and it's a whole new life. That's what we say, isn't it? You're born again. Yeah. New life. Yeah. And yet we drag something of the old around with us. It's just not viable, is it? You do the things you used to do, because you haven't yet put aside and put off the old man. I would say you, we. There are things we put off and there are things we put on. Well, let me just say to you, stop putting off the old man. Put him off and put on the new. Because when you put on the new, believe what God can do. And you will see what a changed life. Not only you will live, but other people will see you live. The old is gone. We need to get rid of its remains. I've only done two verses. Colossians 3, verse 5. I thought I'd better save this bit, although Paul put it first. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. In other words, put to death that old man. Don't just put him off. Put him to death. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul is so absolutely practical. There's nothing airy-fairy about this. This is what you put off. Get rid of it. It stinks. It's disgusting. Put it off. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Man, don't even want to go there. Because we call to obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey me. Because he wants you to walk in the joy, the life, the liberty, and the freedom of obedience. He said that because he knows it's the best thing for you. How many of us have said to our kids, don't do that because X or Y will happen? If we can have that much sense, how much more has God got when he says, obey me, it's the best deal. Live in obedience. It's the best life you can have. But the good news is, God is coming upon the sons of disobedience in which you yourself once walked. Paul's talking to the church here, he's not talking to the unsaved. We have to get it into our minds when we are reading the letters of the New Testament, they're to the church. They are not letters to the unsaved, they're letters to the saved so that they can see others saved. It's encouraging stuff. In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. In other words, you don't live like that anymore. You've put it off. But now you yourselves put off all of these. It's so practical. Anger. What does anger do? Ephesians says it gives the devil a mighty in your life. It doesn't belong in you or on you. Put off anger. Put off wrath. Put off malice. Put off blasphemy. Put off filthy language out of your mouth. Man alive, if we would align our language with heaven, nothing of those, that order would come out of our mouths. And Paul isn't just talking about what we would call bad language here. He's actively talking about how you speak about other people, how you speak about yourself, how you speak about God, how you speak about his church is how you speak about God. If you criticize your church, you're criticizing the body of Christ. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Whose body is it? Jesus. You criticize your church, you're criticizing. Don't let that bad mouthing come out of your mouth. Don't bad mouth others. It's not the language of the new man. Don't let those things come out of your mouth. God hears you. Because we're going to live as the new man. The old is gone, the new has come. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. We need to know this. Our old man was crucified with Christ. He took that to the cross, nailed it, and put it to death. Why would we want to resurrect it? Know this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves of sin. Awesome. I don't want to live as a slave. I want to live as a son. I want to live in the freedom that Christ has won for me. I want to live in the Holy Spirit, which is liberty. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There is not bondage to sin. Glory. I did think that was good, Hazel. Thought it was great. The body of sin is dead. The former things, the old life, has passed away. And the gospel is so that we can die and live again. Born again into the new life. And since now we're living the new life of the new man, we have new habits too. It takes 28 days to form a habit, apparently, or to lose one. And so just think, within a month you could be completely, totally transformed if you, day by day, would live out this word. You would be so revolutionary transformed. As a church, we would be so transformed. The glory of God would be seen. Because it's in you. Just need to let it out. Radical transformation means we don't respond like the world responds. We don't think like the world thinks. We don't speak like the world speaks. We don't act like the world acts. because we're living as a new man. So all moaning, groaning, grumbling and complaining would cease. Did you ever read, oh, Jesus grumbled? Jesus moaned about his ministry. Jesus complained. Jesus suffered everything for the joy that he could see beyond it. He did not justify himself. He was falsely accused, but he let it go. Wow. 28 days to form every habit of the new man. Shall we give it a go?
Yeah.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Are you really up for it?
Yeah.
You know, you said, word of God, speak to me. If you're really up for it, then the people that you live with who are sitting with you now are the ones who are responsible for reminding you. You said you wanted to live the new life. Come on. I'm not talking about condemning one another. I'm talking about encouraging one another. Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're free from that stinking stuff. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life, joy, passion, energy, something new. Put that old man down. Put him to death. Bury him. Stamp on his grave. And stand in victory. I think it's exciting. The new man starts to live like Christ, selflessly. Break it down. Selfless. Less of self, more of him. Whoa! Less of ourself, more of himself. What's preferable? Himself is much, much preferable. It's a tremendous transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, well, let's start in 16. Oh no, let's start in 14. For the love of Christ compels us. That's what drives us. The love of Christ. He first loved us. For the love of Christ compels us. For we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. Jesus died for all. So we all died. That's amazing. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again. That's mega complex, isn't it? Isn't that just the most complicated thing you've ever heard? He died for all, that those who now live should now live no longer for themselves, but should live now for him who died for them and rose again. I can't make it any simpler, because it's that simple. Therefore, that's there for the fact that that was there. He died for us all, and we don't need to any longer to live for ourselves, but we can now die to ourselves and live for him. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him like that no longer. Because he's spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
We freedom thinkers. Verse 17, therefore, it's there again. For what went before, if anyone is in Christ, He is a... That's good news, isn't it? All things have passed away. Well, when somebody dies, we're talking about passing away, aren't we? The old things have passed away. They've gone. They've died. The old life is no longer viable. If you're a new man, you can no longer live the old life. So you'll know where you're standing in that, because God will make it clear to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means you or me, or anyone, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, look and see that all things have become new. God just wants us to be renewed today. He wants us to live a new life. Put off the old, put on the new. Romans 6, 6 to 7. We just already read it. I want to read it again. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The old is gone, the new is come. And it's possible to get a hold of it and to live in it. Galatians 2:20. I bet you Bible scholars can quote this for me. I have been crucified. It means you died. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I'm dead. I've died. The old man has died. The new life of Christ is in me. We used to sing that, didn't we? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. You say, well, I'm not in the worship team, can't you? But I used to love singing it because it was truth. And for some unknown reason, we lose sight of the fact that I no longer live. And so every time I is upset, I rises up. Needs a poke in the eye. I no longer live. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he did, so that we didn't need to live the old life. We live the new life. I've died, I've passed away. No longer in bondage to the old, but in the liberty and life, that freedom that God won at the cross is ours. And if we get a hold of that scripture, it's more than new clothing, it's more than new behaviour. It turns us upside down, inside out, and sends us out with a message of salvation, with a declaration of new life. And we leave all the old stuff behind. We run free. It's so freeing. It's so liberating to live as a new creation in Christ. And that identity needs to be visible. You know, there's so many analogies. If you look at the butterfly, the caterpillar just isn't there anymore. It's gone. You don't find the butterfly trying to get back into the cocoon. It's left behind. It's that kind of total transformation. It is as simple as that. And it's as direct as that. And God wants us to fly free, to walk free, to run free, to live in the freedom of living life in the Spirit as a new man. But the trouble is, too often, we try to get back into the cocoon because it's cozy, it's comfortable, and we don't have to look at the world from a different perspective. The butterfly sees a totally different perspective to the caterpillar. And too often, we try to crawl back into that cocoon and it doesn't fit anymore. The old man just doesn't feel comfortable anymore. And living in it is never going to bring us joy. It's never going to bring us the freedom, the liberty and the life that Christ has got for us. And we need to make sure that we are living in the new life. Stop putting off the old. When the wrong spirit is in control of our lives, we find that our lives are out of control because they're under the influence of a negative enemy who wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Not just your ministry, but your whole life and your eternity. The new man lives under the control of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is. We live in freedom. We don't live in bondage to sin. We don't live in bondage to our old life, our old reactions, our old responses. We live the new life. We're either a butterfly or a caterpillar, if you want to bring it down to the kind of basic levels. You can either be a butterfly or you can be a caterpillar. Why would you want to be crawling around when you can be flying with a new perspective? But it's as new as that. The old is not converted or improved. It's put off. It's put to death. It was put to death at the cross, and it is put to death as we live the new life, the creative, redemptive act of God that brings us into that new life as a new person. Why would we ever want to even touch the stinking, old, smelly clothes? Why would we want to crawl back into the cocoon and miss out on the glory of the perspective of the heavenlies? So it's as simple as that today. God saying, put off the old man with his wickedness and evil deeds and put on the new man, which is Christ. Do the new deeds, the works of God. Make new decisions according to his plan for our lives. Make a new declaration over your life, not our words, but his word, and take a new direction and walk with him. Live that positive, productive, powerful life of the new man. You might be thinking, you've made it sound too simple, Lynn. I didn't. The Word of God does. It is as simple as it sounds. We put off the things of the old life and we put on the things of the new. And we leave the old in the laundry basket to fester with the socks. And we pass the sniff test because the new man is apparent and visible. It is that easy when we put Jesus first, others next, and ourselves last. It is as easy as that when we guard our mouths. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Set watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. Let our hearts be that heart of the new man. Let's stand together.